So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
When I was 14 or 15 years old, I turned my World War II mother onto marijuana because she liked to drive around San Antonio with our mixed breed beagle on top of the car. And I thought anyone who is suave enough to pull that off would not mind torching a Jay with her teenage son. I turned my mom onto pot. She turned me into my father, who turned me on to corporal punishment. But not right away. He extended his hand and he said, "Son, promise me you'll never do that dope again." I extended my hand, shook his hand very earnestly. I said, "Sir, I will never do that dope again." And I lied my ass off. Not too long after that, he opened his hand when I came home. And there, seeping through his pores into his bloodstream, were 11 tiny lavender tabs of LSD. Purple haze. He pulled off his belt. He said, "Son, do not lie to me. What is this?" I said, "Dad, I will not lie to you again. What you hold in your hand is Purple Haze LSD. But don't worry, I'm not taking it. I'm just spreading it out through the neighborhood." The whoop-ass I received began in the northwest corner of the house. It went through the den, into the dining room, into the kitchen, back into the dining room for some unknown reason, into our living room, down the hallway to the southeast corner of the house. He threw his belt at me. I chunked the deuce. I said, "I am headed to California." I ended up in Tucumcari, New Mexico, in jail. With this dumpster diving, low life, bottom feeder who robbed churches for a living. He said, "Son, you could get in the business I'm in." And I said, "I'm going to do everything in my power not to be like you. And by the way, your diaper is full and you need a change." My parents came from San Antonio. They got me out of jail in Tucumcari, New Mexico. They put me on house arrest for 1 year. When they set me free, somehow I got my beautiful Mexican girlfriend pregnant. And when her brothers, who were digging gold in the Sierra Madre, came back, they looked for me to beat my ass like a piñata. But I jumped on an ex-pothead Jesus People caravan to California. They took us to Skid Row, downtown LA, where we attempted to cast the demon out of a morbidly obese man who somehow miraculously chased us from Skid Row back to Pershing Square. Again, I chunked the deuce. I got out of that group, and I got right into a more controlling, marine-like group. And then I moved with the group to Houston. You could not visit your family unless you had a group member. You couldn't visit your friends unless a group member was with you. You couldn't return home. And that's when I came up with a plan. My plan was to get my GED, to get into college, because then if I returned a college student, no one could call me a dropout again. So I went to this program at the University of Houston for migrant workers to get a GED. And behind this desk was kind of a Yoda dude, you know. And he goes, "Son, why do you want to get in to the GED migrant program?" I said, "Sir, I've been into a lot of trouble. I'm trying to become a college student. I miss my family, and I'd like to go home. But what is your farm experience?" I said, "Well, in the backyard of San Antonio, I grew this plant, a tomato plant. And I'm good at overdosing things, you know, so I OD'd this thing with Miracle Grow, and was like a huge red balloon on the top of this plant. And it just sank there." He said, "That is not farm experience." I thought, I got something. I sorted seeds from a huge pile of marijuana. It got me in a lot of trouble, my parents. He said, "That is not farm experience. Go away in about a week. Think about the farm experience you've had." And I remembered, I came back to the worker program. The man's name was Chewy. I said, "I got it." I was hitchhiking across Texas on the way back from California. I stopped at a friend's grandfather's farm. There was this old, depressed dog. Looked like that dog hadn't played with anybody in a long time. So I chased this dog across down this row of maize. And here was this 11-foot tall weed. I stopped chasing the dog. I pulled out the weed. And Chewy, who was sitting, leapt across the desk and said, "Son, you are in the migrant worker program. That is farm experience." I lost touch with Chewy. 40 years later, it is 2016. A man comes up in San Antonio when I was watering my grass. He said, "Hey, what happened to the old man that used to live here?" And I said, "That was my dad. He passed." He said, "I used to sit with him, and I'm a medic in Vietnam. And he was a Navy, World War II in the Pacific Theater. And we used to talk about our military experiences. And you came out to the porch one day, and you started talking about this crazy education experience that you had. Where'd you start?" I said, "In a program with migrant workers. I got my GED from a man named Chewy." He said, "When was this?" I told him when. He said, "You know, 40 years ago, I was at the University of Houston. I was the director of the GED program. My name is Chewy." At that moment, we realized this thing is much bigger than ourselves. And I went into my study of my dissertation to look into this, that we have blessers, we have Chewies in our lives. We have a hidden alliance of people who bless us, who open doors for us. And I just want you to join me now, because I would, even though I lost my sister last year at this time, who was my chief blesser, the other blesser is in the back, Chewy, Jesus Chewy Lopez. Would you help me recognize him? Always, always remember our migrant workers put food on our table. Thank you for listening to my story.